his many years of dedicated service to Srila Prabhupada and the Atlanta Temple. He's a very wonderful Vaishnava, and the proof is that he's just looked so, always so blissful. And he's one of the best dressers in our movement. It's very important, Prabhupada said that we should dress like ladies and gentlemen. So it's always a pleasure to see how nicely he's dressed. And I'd also like to thank Vedasara, but I don't believe he's here.
He's
in India. For taking over the burden of love. So nicely. Unfortunately, every time I come, he's not here, so I don't get to offer my respects. And of course, my respects go to my very dear godbrother, who has that million-dollar smile, Sikha Mahidi Prabhu. I only really met Sikha Mahidi Prabhu recently, the last couple of years. I've been a devotee for some 30-odd years, so I consider it a great misfortune that I had to wait so long to have this association. He's the kind of devotee you always want to be around, because he's always upbeat, is that the correct word? He's always very positive. He's always very Krishna conscious. And I've seen that when there's happiness, or there's stress, or there's ups and there's downs, he always seems to be very equipoised and positive about the outcome, which is good, because our outcome, our future is very bright, actually, in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, because of our past conditioning, we may fall prey to some type of disappointment or some bewilderment or some depression. But we should always remember that through thick and thin, we're on the right path. From the path back home, back to Godhead, there's two paths in this world. There's the path of material sense gratification and pravritti marg, and there's the path of a gradual renunciation of this world, culminating in love of God, pravritti marg. So sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, but it's something like this. We're always going up. Whereas a materialistic person who's simply dedicated to trying to enjoy this world and doesn't acknowledge the existence of God or his eternal loving relationship with God, it may sometimes seem like he's up, but he's going down like this, unfortunately. So see, he's one of those devotees who's always bright and happy. And I know that his good wife, Govinda Leela, also plays a very important role. Behind every great man is a great woman. She's the kind of Mataji that Prabhupada, he would say that the girls are doing as good as the boys. And as we know from Vedic culture, the woman is the better half of the man in the marriage. So. But thank you to all of them for managing this center so nicely. And it's very clear, what is your impetus here? It's very clear, we just have to look to the right, those of you who are sitting in this side and here to the left. We look at this very beautiful altar with the deities who came by the request of Srila Prabhupada, Shishi Gaurani Thai, and your beautiful Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev, and your exquisitely charming Madan Mohan and Anandini. Anandini is a name for Radha. It means that she's never separated from Krishna. Easy to see here, because Krishna is so charming, looking a little into the sky and Radharani. They're also very happy, happy deities. And, you know, they're the type of deities that when you see them, you can't stop looking at them.
Yeah.
All deities are absolute. But Prabhupada did have his favorites, so, you know, these deities are exquisitely beautiful, and it's such a joy to come here and partake of their darshan and somehow engage in their service. We're coming here and giving a few lectures, we're just passing through, trying to inspire a few devotees, but we see it as service to Srila Prabhupada, helping the temple managers, and ultimately as service to your wonderful deities. So thank you very much. On your big property, sprawling property with all kinds of buildings, and your famous Panihati Festival. When I think of Panihati, I think of you know, the pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And somehow by the mercy of Jayakataka Maharaj, I think he comes here every year. Whenever he talks about Panihati, it's Atlanta, Atlanta. He's always saying to me, I'm always asking him, Maharaj, please come to our Utsav, please come to our Utsav. And he's saying, will you come to Atlanta? Thank you very much. So, essentially, this is Harinam Diksha. Diksha means initiation into Harinam, the chanting of the holy names. It's very clear, if we scrutinize and we study the Shastras, that the chanting of the holy names is the prescribed method for awakening our dormant love of God in this age. Actually, I read a commentary by Srila Jiva Goswami, which he mentions that this chanting of the holy names of God, particularly this Hare Krishna mantra, this was present in every age. It wasn't that it has only come about in the Kali Yuga. This opportunity of chanting Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare,
was also present in the Satya Yuga, when the majority of people were performing the Yuga Dharma. Dharma means the duty or the process recommended, and Yuga means the age. So in the age of Satya, the first age, the golden age, the process was meditation. But side by side, Prabhupada said, Jiva Goswami says, for a few fortunate souls, there was the simple and sublime process of chanting Hare Krishna. As well as in the Treta Yuga, the Silver Age, the process was ritualistic performances, particularly the Havan, as we say now in Hindi, or the Agnihotra, the fire sacrifice, where the Lord very kindly appears as the sacred fire and accepts our oblations, meaning accepts our gifts, accepts our service, accepts our love. Yajna by Vishnu. The yajna is actually not meant to necessarily satisfy the devatas of the administrative core of the Supreme Lord, but ultimately all sacrifice, all penance, all austerity, anything we do is ultimately meant for the pleasure of God. Because Jivarsupoya Krishnera Nityadas, we are all eternally by nature eternal servants of God. So the yajna was meant to please the Lord. And the next day, but the chanting of Hare Krishna was also there, Jiva Goswami says. Few fortunate souls living in the Vana, in the forest, the confidential secret was there. Just chant Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
The next age, third age, Dupara Yuga, in which Swayam Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, Supreme Lord, finally visited this planet. That process was temple worship, going to the temple and beholding the beautiful Archa Vigraha, the merciful form of the Lord. God is so kind, being the controller of matter and spirit, God. He can turn spirit into matter, and he can turn matter into spirit. I mentioned the day, I was just reading the Bible recently. I still carry the Bible with me, actually, many of my travels, because it was such a source of inspiration when I was a youth. It still is. In the Old Testament, we hear how the Lord appeared to Moses as a burning bush, and he spoke to it, to the medium of the burning bush. So this is, we would consider, a mundane material object. But the Lord utilized it for the purpose of giving instruction to Moses. So the Lord can appear in matter. And according to our Vaishnava scriptures, we don't concoct some form of the Lord, but we refer to Shastra, scripture, Guru Shastra Sadhu, the spiritual master, the previous saints, and the scriptures to learn exactly what the Lord is appearing like in the spiritual world, and we carve the form accordingly in matter, and we request the Lord to appear. And out of His kindness He appears so that we can develop a very personal relationship with Him, because ultimately the goal of life, the goal of religion, reglio is a Latin verb, it means to connect with, the word religion comes from reglio. We want to reconnect with God in a very intimate, sweet, loving relationship. So He appears so that we can serve Him and develop that relationship. So in the past age, Dupara Yuga, that was the process. So you can go to India today And you can see hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of temples where the deity is installed in the temple and the devotees come and they worship the Lord. That was the process. But side by side, Jiva Goswami says, for a few fortunate souls in the mound in the forest, there was the secret, open secret. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
And then in Kali Yuga, this is the Kali Yuga, it's just like our year goes through four seasons, we're just coming into spring. It's so nice, you have dogwood trees. I think they should have named it something else. The dogwood tree. It's such a beautiful tree in Atlanta. Spring has sprung, Krishna says. The flower-bearing season is the spring. So then comes the summer, and then comes the autumn, and then again the winter. So similarly, according to Vedic science, the creation goes through these four ages, getting from better to worse, not like scientists speculate. From worse to better. They've got it all backwards because they're not hearing from proper authorities, from saintly persons. They just, their only means is to speculate, which is called guessing, and somehow it becomes accepted as knowledge. But the actual fact, it goes from best to worst. And we're in the worst. We're the burnt remnants of the past ages. Somehow we didn't do the meditation, we didn't do the Vedic rituals, we didn't do the temple worship, we're the leftovers. Like you finish a plate and you have something left over. So we're the, as proud as we may be, we're the leftovers. But nevertheless, purpose of life is the same. Although Shastra says people born in Kali Yuga practically have no qualification for spiritual life because they're too addicted to sinful activity, basically. Too much in the bodily concept of life. There's no opportunity. Nevertheless, purpose of life is still the same. Atato Brahma Janasya Vedanta Sutra. What is Vedanta Sutra? It's the codes. Veda is the vast body of knowledge that we have in India. The Vedas, the Puranas, the Itihashas, the Upanishads, the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, on and on and on. But for those who know, life is short. There's the code, like we have Morse code. When I was in the military, Marines, we had to learn Morse code. I forgot it. That might be a bad word, I better be careful. So for those who know, life is short. To attain the goal of life, self-realization, to awaken our dormant love of God, which has been covered by many centuries, by many millions of births. Time is of the essence. So there's Vedanta Sutra. The message is in code form. Like Kapiraj Goswami says, eloquence is truth spoken concisely. Get to the point. Okay. Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Janasya. Now that you've come to the human form of life, now is the time for self-realization. That's the ABCs. Now that you've come to the human form. That is applicable in the past, the present, and in the future as well. The other day I was giving a lecture in one university in India, Manipal, near Udupi, in Karnataka. Very intelligent students. I was told that they, most intelligent students were allowed to come to the class because they, others had to go to class. So the professors came and they came, all IT, all these very advanced. So when I was speaking from Bhagavad Gita, what is that? A clock? Sounds like a cell phone.
Whatever it is, take it outside.
It's a cell phone or a baby. So, one student, I was speaking from Bhagavad Gita, so he raised his hand, he said, "Sir, what is the value of this book which was spoken or written 5,000 years ago?" He said, "Don't you understand? You went to this university, we're studying science, we're studying technology, advanced medicine. What if we need a book that was written by some people living in a you know, I don't know the word he is. Some culture 5,000 years ago. I said, well, sir, it depends on your what you consider the goal of life. If you consider the goal of life mature enjoyment, then this book, Bhagavad Gita, has no value to you. If that is your goal of life. But if you're intelligent, if you're actually intelligent, and you understand that the goal of life is something more than that, it's liberation from the repetition of birth and death, samsara, it's reconnecting with God, entering into the most sublime, blissful relationship of loving service to God, then that book that was spoken 5,000 years ago is as relevant now as it was then. And it will be as relevant 5,000 years or 50,000 or 50 million years from now. Absolute truth is different than relative. Relative truth means, you know, time, place, and circumstance. Absolute truth means it's valid all phases of time, the past, the present, and the future. So this is very important. So even though we're born into Kali Yuga, still, the purpose of life is still liberation from the repetition of birth and death, culminating in awakening our love for God. That is the main goal of life. Not that we have to stop all other activity, we have to find a balance, of course, but the stress is put on developing love of God. But what to do? We're highly unqualified. We may be highly qualified materially, but we're highly unqualified spiritually. Even if a person wants to be good in this age, the nature of this age is due to so much bad association, he's almost forced to become bad. Especially with the internet. I would rather call it internaut. Although they have that guardian thing you can do. The parents can put the parents.
Yeah, parent call.
What's it called?
Firewall.
Yeah, there are two children here, so they have their parents here, so they know that they can't. Mm-hmm. You can serve, but you can only serve a few ways. Your parents choose. You can serve this way.
Cyber sitter.
Yeah, cyber sitter. That's very dangerous. And we know that oftentimes the problem is that the children are raised in our home, and that they learn the morals and the values that we want to instruct them in our spiritual tradition. But when we let loose and they go to the schools, sometimes it's very bad, because although the teachers may be good, the peer association is very bad. What we would consider now something very normal, when I was a young man, I'm almost 60, when I was a young man, these things, my brother Rajkumar, things like abortion and, you know, intoxication and gambling and so much more activity, this was, you know, we lived in Pleasantville, USA. Kentville, we'll say, okay, but it was like Pleasantville. It was like, you know, do good, be good, see no evil, hear no evil, do no evil. And now it's all become the norm. Very dangerous. Actually, Bhagavatam says that in Kali Yuga, children will be sent for higher education, but it calls those places of higher education slaughterhouses in the sense of spiritual life. Very dangerous. So even if you want to be good, chances are, there's so much bad association, you'll be engaged in these activities. So Bhagavatam predicts these things. So there's practically no hope. But still the purpose of life is the same. So it appears contradictory. It's almost as if we're condemned in this age. But still the purpose of life is the same as those who are born in Satyayuga. So therefore, a concession is made. Dhammatu sakshat bhagavat panitam. But for the Lord, no one can enunciate a principle of religion, a religious tradition. Sometimes now, people become a little charismatic in Christianity or Islam or Hinduism, and they become a leader and they start their own little sect or whatever, and they have many followers, and then they deviate from the original teaching, and it all becomes chaotic and so forth and so on. But according to Shastra, Dhammatu sakshat bhagavat panitam. Only God can enunciate a principle or a religious tradition. Therefore, we see the history of man. So many bona fide spiritual traditions. Christianity, Hinduism, per se, Buddhism, Judaism, Islam. These are considered bona fide spiritual traditions. They're there for the people. Dhammam tu sakshat bhagavat panitam. And in this age, we learn from our Vedic scriptures, Lord has also given a process. He's given a process for the fallen people of this age, a concession. You don't have to do all those Vedic rituals like in the past. You don't have to perform hundreds of years of meditation. You don't have to go through the vast body of Vedic knowledge. A concession is made. Hari Nama Hari Nam Hari Nam Devam Hello Nasti 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 Bhakti Anjana. You just chant the name. Just chant the name of God. One person said at the same university. He said, "Yeah, they're kidding me. Three words? Hare Krishna and Rama?" I said, "Well, no. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama." I said, "Say that." So he said, "Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama." I said, "Thank you very much. We love on the path of spiritual life." I said, "But don't underestimate the potency of these names. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha." Very important verse. There's no difference between the name, the fame, the form, the pastimes, and the paraphernalia of God. They're all absolute. In other words, God is present in the sound of His name. And God is the supreme pure. If we're in an impure, Tarama was quoting that verse, unclean condition, externally, internally. If we're in an impure state, if we associate with the Lord, we will become purified. What could be more pure than God Himself? Even the artifacts that we use in the service of God we consider sacred. The deity, the cross, whatever it may be, we consider it sacred. How pure is the Lord Himself? So this is the special opportunity afforded. It's not only in our tradition. In the Psalms of David, it says, "From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised with drums and cymbals. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Why is the name of God hallowed, or why is it sacred? Why? Well, let's try to philosophically use our intelligence to understand these things. It gives us more faith. Because the Lord is present in the sound of His name. And in the Lotus Sutras of Buddha, it is stated, Buddha says, "Anyone who calls upon my name shall be delivered." And in Islam, Salaam alaikum. How am I knowing? Because most of my time is spent in Muslim countries. Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Dagestan, a few I can't tell you, these confidential private stuff. Allah Akbar, Alhamdulillah. There is no God but God, Allah, and Muhammad is His prophet. But great stress is put upon the name of God. Allah, they're chanting, Allah Akbar. God is great. So in every bona fide spiritual tradition, we'll see that this is a central theme, because this is the dharma for this age. Therefore, in every bona fide tradition which comes from God, you will find the same principle. Because it's the dharma, it's the duty, it's the opportunity afforded to the living entities, and they just chant the name. You can chant any name of God. We're not sectarian. We like to chant Hare Krishna because we have information that in the topmost planet in the spiritual world, the Lord is there in His original form as a cowherd boy with a walking stick and little butter in His hand. And He is there is the Supreme Personality of God. Take the whole bag out. It's a bomb. No, it's just
there
isn't
a bag.
Take the bag out. There you go. Okay. The other bag, if you're embarrassed to claim your bag, it will be too awesome. So Lord is present in the sound of His name. And Krishna is a very intimate, personal name. It's a very appropriate name. There's primary names of God, and there's secondary names of God. Secondary names like God, the Father, Bhagavan in our Hindu tradition, owner of all opulence, like this. But intimate names are యసమతినందన
భ్రజపరధార
కృష్ణ. ఇట్ మీన్స్ ది మోస్ట్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ పర్సన్. God is the source of all beauty, so he is the most beautiful person.
So we prefer to chant Hare Krishna.
So these names are the source of our deliverance in this age of Kali Yuga.
Kalair dosha ni devajan asti eka mahaguna kirtanare krishna sya mukta sangha param vijay.
Maharaj Pariksha is telling, or Shukadeva Goswami is telling Maharaj Pariksha,
hey king, in this age of Kali, it is an ocean of inauspiciousness.
But there's one good thing left.
Kirtanad eva.
You just sing and you become liberated. You'll achieve perfection. Oh, I like to sing. I have rock and roll. I have pop hip.
Hip hop.
I'm mostly in a Muslim country. They don't know about hip hop. Black metal.
Heavy metal.
Black metal. Heavy metal. The group police. And punk and
dance. The punk.
And Poland. Skinheads and all. So no. Not that type of singing. That is not transcendental sound. Shabda Brahma. Golok Prendam Hridam Sankirtan. That sound which comes from the spiritual sky. It is coming from the kingdom of God. To deliver us back home to the spiritual world. Golok Prendan Harinam Sankirtan. This transcendental sound vibration. Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vijay. You have to sing the name of God. Oh my Lord, your holy name alone commended all benedictions upon the living entities. Thus you have hundreds of millions of names like Krishna and Govinda, etc. In all these names, you've invested all of your transcendental energies. You've made approach to you so easy through the medium of your holy name. There's just one problem. I have very little attraction. We don't have, because of our conditioned state, we're not attracted to things spiritual. We have a fleeting curiosity, or times of distress, we may call out to God. We don't have a burning desire. We still have more faith in matter than we do in spirit. We have more faith in ourselves than we have in God. We have more faith in material enjoyment, but we don't even conceive there can be happiness in spiritual life. It's all rituals and prayers and this and that. We don't see it. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, religion should be joyfully performed. It should be something joyful, like we have singing and dancing and feasting, etc. We have very little attraction, like a diseased person when he has hepatitis, jaundice, we were discussing this morning. In India, the cure for hepatitis, for cleansing the liver, is sugar. Natural sugar, like gur, sugar cane. But to a person who's diseased, when he tastes the gur, it tastes bitter. And I stand as an example. I had hepatitis, I got it in India, it's one of the occupational hazards of being a world traveler. In India. I got very bad hepatitis. And my friend who was giving me the gore, he was tasting it. Oh, it's so sweet, Maharaj, try it. And I would spit it out. It was so bitter. But why? Because I was diseased. So we have this golden opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
But we just do the minimum, or worse yet, we struggle to complete our rounds. So on and so on. This is our misfortune. This is our great misfortune. Brothers, it's just like to conceive a child, two things are required. A potent male and a fertile female. If either one is impotent or one is not fertile, then the conception will not take place. So we have the bona fide process. But it's up to us to develop faith in the holy name. So that when we chant, we get the ultimate benefit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So we could go on and on, because we spent a lifetime actually speaking about these things, the glories of the holy name. Padma Purana says that if a sinful person surrenders to God, he'll be protected. you'll be free from all sinful reaction. What is the verse?
Sarva dharma paritya mameham saranam braja hamtam sarapapevyo.
You'll be free from sinful reaction.
Prabhupada also says that if one offends God, if you offend God, like Bhrigu Muni, right? Bhrigu Muni, he was asked by the sages to test who's the most tolerant person, because a saintly person possesses tolerance. It's one of his good qualities. He's very tolerant. So of all the devatas, of all the godly souls, who's the most tolerant? So Bhrigu Muni had to go, he had to offend, so to speak, you know, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. So he offended Brahma, he offended Shiva, and they got a little bit angry. But when he offended Vishnu, he kicked Vishnu in the chest, and Vishnu so much loves his devotee, he said, "My dear devotee, have you hurt your foot?" This is just one leader to demonstrate how tolerant the Lord is. Says if you offend the Lord, it's considered quite severe. You can be protected by taking shelter of the holy name. If you offend God, you can chant His holy name. His holy name is all merciful, more merciful than the Lord Himself. You could say, although they're identical, it's His mercy incarnation. If you, just to show how merciful the holy name is, if you offend God, you can be relieved of that sin by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare
Hare. But the Padma Prada points out, if you offend the holy name, there's no chance of being delivered. That's your last chance. Like my father, I always called my dad. You know, fathers know best, right? Under the television program, father doesn't know. He'd always say, "Son, this is your last chance. I'm sure that happened to you more than me. I know you pretty well. This is your last chance. This is your last chance." So, you know, the holy name is, you could say, more merciful than God. And so if you offend God, you can be free from that sin by the mercy of the holy name. Although it's Him, it's His mercy incarnate. But if you offend the holy name, then there's no chance. Because that's the only means, or let us say the most easy and sublime means of deliverance in Kali Yuga. So therefore, in this discussion about the glories of the holy name, we also have to point out that there are offenses to the holy name, which these initiates, and all of us, must be careful to avoid. Because we have the golden effort, although we're born into Kali Yuga, although we have performed many sins in the past, we're going to give them up today. They promise to give up sinful activity, the four basic sins. I chant Hare Krishna. We have the chance. Prabhupada said, deathlessness begins at the moment of initiation. You can achieve immortality. Because punarjanma nivijate, by going back to Godhead, you don't take birth again, Krishna says in Gita. So, we have the opportunity. But if we offend the holy name, then our progress is either slowed down, you get stuck in the mud. Or in some cases, if one is extremely offensive to the holy name, all this progress can stop, or one can go back to square one. It's a very serious subject matter. Therefore, we're taking the time today to discuss it. Although eloquence is truth spoken concisely, it could cover the matter in 5 minutes. We have to analyze this because we have a tendency to sin. We have more of a tendency to sin or do bad things than good things. Otherwise, why are we here in the material world? Why are we here birth after birth after birth after birth? So we have to hear, what are the obstacles on the path of pure devotion to God? Because what is the end result of chanting Hare Krishna? Oh, Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. That's the end result is the ecstasy, the happiness of crying tears of love. The hair standing on end. You're not so bad after all. I guess you're not so bad after all.
I should go sit over there.
No, I need you a couple more times to tolerate it. So, going to go briefly over the 10 offenses. I'd like you all to sit up straight, take a deep breath. Well, I was supposed to give 2 lectures today, but I'm only going to give 1. I'm supposed to give 1 tonight, but time is short. I haven't finished my rounds. I was said the most important instruction of the spiritual master is chant 16 rounds. I promised my guru I chant 16 rounds a day, but I've only chanted 2. So I have to go home and chant. So I won't be giving an evening lecture. But let's briefly go through, stay awake, and we'll briefly go through the 10 offenses, because if we can avoid these 10 offenses, we can get the full mercy of the Lord. Because we're doing a lot of chanting, but are you crying tears of ecstasy? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, upon chanting Hare Krishna, in the name of God, if your voice doesn't choke up, if tears don't well up in your eyes, your hair stands still, and you don't fall onto the ground semi-conscious, it means that you're performing 1 or 2 or 3, a combination of these offenses. So we're chanting, but you could say, well, it's like burning the candle at both ends. You know, we're getting the benefit, but we're doing the wrong thing, so then we don't get anything. So we have to avoid the following 10 offenses. The first offense is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. Blaspheme devotees. One time, Ramananda Prabhu was giving a lecture, and he was saying, you know, this means that we should not offend the spiritual master. Because in the eyes of the disciple, the spiritual master is the very best devotee. That's why the disciple has selected that person to follow and to take guidance from. So, it's a good point. Don't offend. The Prabhupada was sitting there, he said, no, it means any devotee who's chanting the holy names of the Lord. Actually, anyone who's chanting names of God, we consider them to be a Vaishnava. That would be any religion. We should be respectful. We should never consider ourselves to be better than anyone. At most, we should consider ourselves to be perhaps more fortunate, but never better, considering our past history. When you apply for a job, you can tell them anything you want. They look at your history. So what is our history? It's nothing very wonderful. We're very fortunate. We've come in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord, and we're under his guidance. We're making some tangible advancement. So anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna, or anyone who's chanting the name of God, they're not to be blasphemed. If you speak ill of someone, this person is, and just look at your hand, how you're pointing 3 fingers at yourself. It would be better to look into your own heart before you criticize others. We have to be free ourselves of the fault before we can actually instruct someone in the fault. Just like one time, a mother saw that her child was eating too many sweets, and as a result, his teeth were beginning to decay. So she took him to the dentist, and she said, can you please tell my son to stop eating so many sweets? So he said, he looked at him and he said, I can tell him next week, Monday night I can tell him. Lady, why don't you just tell him now? No, you come back in 1 week and I will tell him. So she was a little perplexed, but, you know, authorities, the dentist. She went home in 1 week, keep eating the sweets. Then they came back the next Monday. She said, now will you tell? Yes, I will tell him now. Young man, stop eating too many sweets. You see it's decaying your teeth. He said, yes, doctor. So she said to the doctor, why didn't you say that 1 week earlier? So the man said, well, I couldn't say it with all truthfulness because I was addicted to eating too many sweets. So I stopped eating too many sweets, and now I have the ability to tell him this thing. So before we criticize others, this is Jesus said, let he who is not sin cast the first stone. Right? They wanted to stone the prostitute. So Jesus came, let him who is not sinned cast the first stone. Or in our history, when the divine personality of Gokushodas Babaji left this world, and his divine form, his body was there, in his humility, he had once said, this body is worth nothing. This is the sign of my disobedience to God. I have this gross material. Just drag it by the donkeys through the town when I die. So one of his very neophyte followers, he actually had one disciple, Bhakti Sanasa, one of his neophyte followers, he said, yes, now Guru Maharaj has left, let's drag his Bhaktisara
Saraswati, he said no. And this is the body of the spiritual master is considered divine because he's fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Body, mind, and words. So his form is, because the form is so much engaged in service, it's not considered a material form. I will take the divine form, I will place it in somebody. And all this is big. So he said, no, he said, none of any, don't touch this divine form of my master unless you yourself are pure, he said to all these so-called renunciates. Any of you who have not had illicit sex life in 1 year, you can come and touch the body of my guru and take it away. No one can. Any of you who have not had illicit association with a woman, you're all renunciates, in 6 months, come and touch this body. No one can. And he went 1 month. He said, anyone who has not had illicit association with a prostitute last night, they put their heads down in shame and they all off. So Jesus is simpler because he said it so simply. He said, let he who has not sinned cast the first stone. So if we want to find fault, nothing like the constructive criticism is okay. We need to be corrected, but the ability to correct lies with the authority who is hopefully not envious. The spiritual master, the teacher. Let him correct the disciple. Or the temple president. There are so many pure Vaishnavas. But let us not find fault for the purpose of just bringing that person down, but rather to constructive criticism. So be very careful not to find fault, because this is called the hatimata, the mad elephant offense. It's the worst offense. It's like an elephant goes into a garden and tears up all the nice plants. Better to err on the side of caution. When speaking of the Vaishnavas, always say something nice. And if something's not so nice, then go to the proper authority and very humbly point out, I think Prabhu needs some direction like this. You're his authority, please. But not in Pajalpa. Village cop, did you hear? Did you know? She did this, he's this. Oh. And rather than Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnishmaranam, we have all those other thoughts. Time and place for everything. But in each other's association, glorification. He's so tolerant as Prabhu. Okay, we'll go through. To disobey the instructions of the spiritual master, what is our connection to God? We cannot approach God directly, just like you cannot approach President Bush directly. You have to go through that via media, the proper channels, and so on. Your connection to this particular senator, or this particular governor, or this particular whatever, that is your connection to the President of America. So what is our connection to the Lord? His representative. His representative. Every religion has a representative, Lord Jesus Christ. Muhammad has his representatives, Buddha has his representatives. In our tradition, Tadviri Paripatena, Paripashana Sevaya, Upadekshanti Te Dinam Ganinas Tatvadarsana, the spiritual master. He's the ambassador. He's one individual, but he represents the Lord. It's a very weighty, but that's what Guru means, very heavy. It's a very serious, sober responsibility. It's not meant that one becomes guru so that he can become wealthy, well-situated, comfortable, famous. Not at all. His position is as a transparent by a medium to the Lord. He must keep himself very pure. And once you take his instructions as the instructions of the Lord, to disobey the instruction means to cut the umbilical cord. Just like a woman is pregnant. And how is she giving nutrition to the child? To the via medium of the umbilical cord. I sense we're going to have a little trouble with that boy. Maybe he could play outside. He can't understand. At this stage, he can't understand that. So one day I'll come to his lecture, so I don't know. You cut the umbilical cord, and you cut the very life of the baby. So if we disobey the instructions of the spiritual master, then that is serious. This is actually third offense, by the way. Disobeying instruction of the spiritual master. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, in this regard, we should never disrespect the articles used by the spiritual master. We should always say his name with great awe and reverence. Whenever we see a spiritual master, we should offer obeisances, not just once a day. We offer obeisances to our God brothers, exalted God brothers and God sisters, but to train us that we are the servant, so that we can hear properly from the master. We should be ready to offer respects to our spiritual master, obeisances to our spiritual master, as often as required, as often as necessary. Not every time he comes in the room, although some disciples do that, but several times during the day, that is appropriate. Just to remember our position so that we can hear properly. If you properly respect someone, you'll hear very attentively. If you don't respect that person, you may not take his message seriously. And our tendency is to forget. So to remember our humble position as servant of the Master, we should offer our respects to him as often as possible. Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur says we should also be eager to eat his remnants. That's not very difficult, is it? Because generally the gurus are getting all nice and shabby. That's actually austerity, because after a while you get very plump, and it's not very appropriate for a saintly person to be plump. So he leaves remnants. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, just to teach us the value of prasadam, not that there's good prasadam and bad prasadam, or untasty prasadam, to show us the absolute nature of prasadam, he used to take his sweets and his salties when he finished and mix them all up. Put lots of salt in to take them. That was the remnants for the disciples. If they wanted Guru Maharaj's remnants, they didn't just pick the gulab jamun and the sweet ball. They would take mercy, which comes of its own accord. Second offense is to consider the names of the demigods, like Shiva or Brahma, to be equal to the name of the Lord. We know that these are posts, except for Shiva, of course. The posts of the demigods are taken up by the most pious living entities at the beginning of creation. They are Jivatmas. They are very pious persons on their way back home, back to Godhead. They get the very sober responsibility of administrating this creation. We don't accept the scientific view. It's all going on by mechanical law. Now, the blade of grass moves without the desire of God. But God is not working day and night with these things, but his will is going on. Let there be light, and there was light. God doesn't have to work to do these things. He engages some of his devotees to take care of the administration. And they're very powerful persons. But from where are they getting their power? From God. Nitya Nityanam, Chaitanya Chaitanam, Ekabahanam, Yogadi Dati Kamam. Out of all the eternals, there's one who's maintaining the desires of all. So the name of God is different than the name of any great personality within this creation. His name is absolute. Your parents could have named you anything, it's a label, but God's name is absolute. Number four, to blaspheme the Vedic literature, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. What would we do if we didn't have these scriptures? What would we do? How much do we know? And how much can we remember when our spiritual master comes and goes? If I was to ask you at the end of this lecture, please stand up and give me 10 points that I recounted in this lecture. How many of you feel confident you can remember 10 points? Rasika, can you stand up right now and just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, give me 10 points that I gave in this lecture? Rangavali? Although you're listening very carefully. She's listening very carefully. That's a good quality of this disciple. She listens very attentively. Prabhupada, when he was time for it, he became a candidate for initiation. They asked Bhaktisiddhanta, will you initiate this householder? And he said, yes, he listens very carefully. One who listens carefully will one day speak nicely. So she listens. So, but still, 10 points is not easy, is it? So, therefore, we have Shastra. At the beginning of the creation, the Lord gave us Shastra in various forms, like a map quest, a spiritual map quest, out of this material world. We can refer to Shastra at any time and get proper direction, how to get out of the material world and into the spiritual world. So valuable that the Shastra is worshipable. It's not different than the Lord himself. It's his instructions. And sometimes we do place the Shastra on the altar as being not different than the Lord himself. We should never disrespect the Shastra. We should never put it onto the ground. We should never fold the pages. We should never underline. We consider it absolute, this Shastra. So important. And not only our Shastra, but we should not disrespect the Shastra of any other bona fide spiritual religion as well, because it's all given according to time, place, and circumstance. Number five, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination. There's many names of God to be chanted. It's said that 1,000 names of Vishnu equal one name Ram. If you would have chanted Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, like we used to do in the old days, I don't know, we were very zealous in the beginning. Whenever we would go on Harinam, we would take water from the water fountain, we would turn it on. Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. And then we would drink the water.
It was good.
Yeah.
In the old days, we used to go into the stores when we were Sankirtan devotees, young men, hungry from the hard days of work distributing books in France, La France. We'd go to La Carrefour. Voilà. And then we would go into the store and we would take out our diaries that we'd offer the whole store. It's all offered except for the butcher part. So that meant that when we got the food, the vegetables, would be cream cheese and things like that, and butter and eggs and like that and so forth. Ice cream. We would come out to the van, and we were like so eager to do our service, we didn't like want to take the time to make, you know, a whole thing and offer the food, and maybe we were a little bit young and passionate, so it was already offered. And the next, we would go back and we'd tell our devotees, where are you going? I'm going to the Carrefour next week, the whole store is offered. How did I get on the track? Well, we got to 7 o'clock. So 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to one name of Ram, and three names of Ram equals one name of Krishna. And what does one name of Krishna do? According to Jiva Goswami, it just chanted sincerely, one name of God chanted sincerely, destroys more sinful reactions than you have accumulated in millions of births. Well, they're just saying that to get me to chant Hare Krishna. Well, this is an offense. Our tiny brain cannot comprehend the opulence of God, the beauty of God, the mercy of God. We have to have faith. We have to accept these things on the basis of Shastra. When we hear these amazing statements in Scripture, we don't want to become a doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas never got the full mercy. Rather, those who had faith. Yashadevi para bhakti yadadevi tatam guru. We should have faith. Yes, Lord Rama has four heads. Yes, the Purusha has millions of arms. But the scientists, who are the scientists? What do they know? They're speculators. That was number five. Number six, to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. There's different ways you can quote unquote interpret. Krishna also means in Sanskrit dictionary black. Black can mean unknown, the black, dark universe is unknown. So Krishna is the unknown, mysterious, behind everything. No, sir. Krishna means most beautiful personality. The personality of God. A brief explanation on that one. That was, what, six? Number seven, to commit sinful activities in the strength of the holy name of the Lord. That's number seven. Sin. Well, we know sin means disobedience to the law of God. It's very simple, actually. What is sin? Sin means to disobey. What are the laws of God? They're in the Scripture. You have to read. You can't go down the road and a cop pulls you over and you were doing 85. I didn't know that. I didn't know. What do you mean you don't read the books? You didn't read the driving manual? We have to, as human beings, we have to read these divine Scriptures to know how to act properly in this world. And to disobey the laws of God, that is sin. But sin can happen in two ways. It can be accidental, or it can be premeditated. Sometimes the transcendental, he makes a mistake, he slips up. Sometimes due to past bad habit, or you become tired, overwhelmed, you may break a regulative principle. So that doesn't mean you should commit suicide. We're not fanatical like that. I said this morning, Prabhupada said, you can break once, you can break twice. Three times means not sincere. So there's some understanding there. We're weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Like that. So
accidental fall down. But premeditated, that's something else. Even in law, if someone kills someone, sometimes it's called manslaughter. It wasn't intentionally done. But if you make a whole plan, like, you know, 9/11, they were planning for years and it carried out, that's very serious. So to commit sin, you know, you might think, yes, this holy name is so powerful. Mara said in class that the sinful reactions of millions of lifetimes. Wow. I'm going to rob that bank and solve all my problems. I'm going to go down to the McDonald's and just dive in. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go home. I'm going to chant, Hare Krishna. Mara said. This is premeditated. This is very bad. That's the worst. I see, sometimes we go, this is the worst offense. That's the worst offense. Sometimes Prabhupada says this was the worst one. Number 8. We're almost finished. Okay. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities in the Vedas. Mentioned the ritualistic activities. All those ritualistic activities are bona fide, necessary. But generally that section of the Vedas, karma kanda, to rein in the senses of a very uncontrolled person to regulate his sense gratification. So it's not just unregulated sense gratification. Regulate your sense gratification at least, become civilized, become Aryan, and know that the result is coming from some higher authority. It's ultimately coming from God to the demigods, but acknowledge there's some higher authority. Don't just take without saying thank you. If you take without saying thank you, you can't expect very much in return. And we learn that as children. My parents, oh, my dad again. Yeah, I had very good parents, actually. My mom used to say, are you going to say thank you? Thanks! No. Say it from your heart, boy. Thanks!
Thanks!
We should acknowledge that we have so many beneficiaries in this life. Our parents, our extended family, our teachers, our society, our politicians, forefathers. We've received so much mercy. We should be thankful for that. But who do we owe our ultimate thanks to? To God. Because He's the supreme provider. So if you say thanks to everybody else as an atheist, thank you, thank you, thank you, you're goody, goody. But you don't say thank to God, this is actually contradictory. This is hypocrisy. You have to acknowledge it's all coming from God. So, how do we say thank you? One way of saying thank you is Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Karma Kanda takes you to the heavenly planets. Chanting Hare Krishna takes you back to God in the spiritual world. Number 9. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Now, I read a very interesting commentary by this. This was by, again, I think it was by Jiva Goswami. He said that faith is such an essential ingredient to chanting. It's so important having faith when you chant. He said it's an offense to initiate someone who doesn't have sufficient faith at all. That's the offense to the guru. If the guru initiates someone who doesn't have enough faith in the holy name and enough strength to follow their vows, it's the guru's office. We have to consider that. If we slip up once, okay. But if there's continued disobedience to instructions of the spiritual master, it's the duty of the spiritual master. He takes the reaction. The cycle. So sometimes we see the spiritual master get sick. Sometimes we say, when our spiritual master gets sick, the disciple shouldn't think, oh, it's just because he should think that my spiritual master is a spiritual personality, an exalted personality. He's not suffering the results of some past karmic activity, but rather, he is suffering my sinful reaction. So sometimes Prabhupada said, when the spiritual master gets sick, it's a way of instructing the disciples, be careful. Do you want to see your guru in a sad condition? When Prabhupada was on his deathbed, he said, at one point he said, this is one angle of seeing it, he said, this is because I accepted too many unqualified disciples. And therefore the spiritual master also must be a little sober. He shouldn't take more disciples than he can actually handle. He should be able to absorb that. How does he do it? How does he absorb the sinful reactions? How does he deal with them? The same way. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So one criteria of the spiritual master is that he must have great, deep faith in the holy name. Otherwise it will be suicidal to initiate. He himself has to have very deep faith in the holy name, so that when he initiates and takes that karma, he doesn't like make the disciple feel guilty. You see, I'm taking a karma, come on. No, it's his duty. It's part of his duty. And some of it, of course, goes to Krishna. He's happy to help his children, his spiritual children, on the path, like a father. He has so many headaches being a father. I won't go into details. He's a very nice daughter, but she's a teenager, and his hair is actually gray. It's not long. It's difficult. This, we call this the burden of love. Someone thinks, oh, you want to be a guru. Who wants to be a guru? It's a very risky business. Drinking poison willingly? What is karma? Karma is the sinful reactions of us or others. Who wants to drink poison willingly? But Shiva drank it, and he was able to retain it. He became like Nilakanta. So the guru, on the order of his guru, because how can we be gurus? How can we do anything? Who are we? We're only the mercy of our spiritual masters. You know, who are we? We're nothing, but we're only doing what we're able to do by the mercy of Prabhupada. To be a Sangha leader, to be a temple president, to be a GBC, to be a sannyasi, we're only able to do it by Prabhupada's mercy and his order, like Charanam was saying. Along with the order comes the ability to do it. But it is a burden, and the disciples should always remember that we want to remain pure in our vows and our chanting, so as not to cause any difficulty to our spiritual master, who is our hero. He's the one out in the front lines leading the charge to spread the Sangha movement. If we do something wrong at home, it means it impedes his ability on the field. So like here in America, we want to help our troops in Iraq. Not that we support the war, but we honor the commitment of these men going out. So the citizens here, if they want to act in such a way that the soldiers will be proud and feel convenience when they come back and they're sick or they're injured, that the Walter Reed Hospital will have the proper facilities for them so they can become normal citizens again. So like that. So we want to make sure that our spiritual master is able to continue his important mission by remaining true to our vows and giving our life. Actually, initiation means giving our life to our spiritual master to help him back home. Like my mom used to tell me that during the war, you know, the citizens didn't have a lot of, you know, facilities like we have now, because the money and all the energy was going to support the troops. So when the soldiers are out on the battlefield and back home, we want to make sure that we're helping as much as we can. So householders can also help the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They can pray for their guru. They can give donations to their guru. They can raise beautiful children to lead the charge when we're off the field in the future. Like this. But it's all connected to the Sangha movement. So one definition of this particular offense is to initiate those who don't have sufficient faith. So we would not be initiating these two devotees if we didn't have faith, that they have faith in the holy name. I want to say that. We're speaking in open forum these truths, but as far as you're concerned, we would not be giving initiation unless we felt that you had that strength to follow the vows, and that you had some taste for chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the last one is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names, to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions. This means that, you know, we should be making progress. We should be able to see. Like when we go into the church, we go into the mosque, we go into the temple, we go into the synagogue, when we go in there and we do our spiritual activities, we should come out a little bit better for the fact. Not that we go in for some social life, or to play dominoes, or bingo, or part of a card club, or just because we need some chef. Okay, that's all right. It may be initially why. We should go, we should practice this way of life so that scrub-a-dub-dub, you know, this heart becomes gradually freed of lust, which is a perverted reflection of love for God. That the greed in our heart goes away, the anger, the envy, all the bad things that we want. We should hope that by practicing our spiritual life, these things are washed away and they're replaced by love for God, for the spiritual master, and all the Vaishnavas. That's why we're doing it. So we want to see some progress. The spiritual master, just like Ibi, she wants to see her little daughter grow up. She's very cute. She's like a little China doll. She's so beautiful right now. But we don't want her to be like that forever. In 30 years, we want her to be a mature woman, well-educated, a family of her own, chanting Hare Krishna. So we want to see, the spiritual master wants to see the disciples make advancement. That's what he wants. He doesn't want any material comforts. He doesn't want any material enumeration. But he really, in his heart of hearts, he wants to see the disciples become an ecstatic lover of God. He wants to see the disciples one day cry when they chant Hare Krishna. If you want to give your Gurudev something, give him one tear of love of God. That will be enough. You can be a billionaire. Keep the billion. You can have a ranch. Keep the ranch. You can have a huge company. You can be famous. Whatever. What we really want is that one day when you cry, before you die, you cry, a little tear comes out. A sincere tear of love of God. That's actually what the spiritual master wants. And for that, we have to work very hard. It's not easy. It's a long road back to God. It's strewn with many brambles and thorns and sticks and so forth. But if we take the helpful hand of the spiritual master, we can pass through it safely. We'll never pass it alone. We're always in association with the Vaishnavas and the spiritual master. So learn to take shelter of the spiritual master by always following his instructions and giving your life to serving his mission, which is Prabhupada's mission and his Lord Chaitanya's mission. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimadan Mohan ki, Srivaranitai ki, Bhagana Subhadra Bhavadeva ki, Srinam Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki. So now, we will ask the initiates to come forward. And at this part of the ceremony, they're going to give their vows to abstain from slaughtering our brothers and sisters, the animals, and the birds, and the fish, and insects. No meat eating, no meat, fish or eggs, no intoxication. Often also means coffee, tea, cigarettes. No illicit sex, which means sex life out of marriage and in marriage, only for the procreation of children. And no gambling. And Papa said sometimes gambling also means mental speculation. We have so much truth before us. What is the need to speculate when I have this divine philosophy? It's so nice. We could just go on speaking forever. It's so relishable. What is the need to speculate about Krishna? So, and then they will promise to also chant 16 rounds, minimum of the mantra. So, first you can offer obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Then you can offer obeisances to the deities, then you can offer obeisance to Balabhadra Prabhu, Sikhimihiti Prabhu, or like the Shikshu Gurus, who are the ones who are really instructing you. I'm just passing through, giving the mantra, giving a few further instructions. But these devotees, my godmothers, they're like your Shikshu Gurus. They're the ones who, since you've come, they've convinced you about the philosophy, they've trained you in Krishna consciousness. They're the ones who actually brought you to the stage of initiation. So really, it's a group effort, I must say. It is a group effort. This is the Sankirtan movement. This is the combined effort of many devotees to spread the glories of the Lord. And part of that process is initiating. So, the devotees here who are managing, they're giving the shiksha, so they're very important. So, obeisances to Prabhupada or Param Guru, first A.B. can come, and then Manji can come. So. And then you offer obeisance to the Lord, and then to the God brothers and God sisters, and then you can come forward. And let us not waste one moment of human life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
This is very good, actually. Prabhupada said there's different classes of students. One student, he receives instruction of the teacher and he disobeys it blatantly. That's, he said, third class. Second class is that the student gets the instruction and follows it very nicely. So what is first class? First class is the student who anticipates the instruction of the spiritual master, knowing what this instruction should be, carries it out without even being asked. So Avi did a very nice thing. She offered her obeisances to Prabhupada, then the deities, and then Balabhadrasihi, and then I had forgotten to mention my very dear and affectionate brother, the Chaitanya Prabhu. She very intelligently, knowing that I would want that, and to cover for my mistake, she offered her obeisances to Chaitanya Prabhu. So I'd like to give her a big round of applause. It's dangerous to give praise because it can make us puffed up, but I also chastise her a lot, so she's gotten the sauce on a few occasions for me, so I feel that, you know, she can also get a little good word to encourage her on it. So we're very happy to accept you as our good initiative disciple. We'll do everything in our power to connect you to our Padam Guru, Sri Prabhupada, because we've just accepted the service on his order. And actually, he's Prabhupada, he's the master at whose feet all the masters sit. He can deliver the whole world. Prabhupada told us one time in Detroit, he said, Lord Brahma can create an entire universe, but a pure devotee can deliver an entire universe. That's your Prabhupada. So my duty is to inspire you in my service, you know, by being a good devotee and giving you good instruction. But I will consider the service complete when I place you very carefully and tenderly and softly at the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Sri Prabhupada. But then I know we're all going back to Godhead. So that you always remember what is the goal of Krishna consciousness. Nothing short of ecstatic love of God will give you a name of the best lover of God, who is here today by her grace. She's benedicting, flooding us all with mercy. Srimati Radharani will give you a name which means servant of her very sweet and wonderful pastimes. From this day on, your name is Virasini Devi Dasi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So what are the four rules and regulations you promise to follow for the rest of your life?
No meat eating, no intoxicants, no gambling, and no illicit sex, and chant 16 rounds minimum of the Hare Krishna Mantra.
Okay, take nice care of your daughter, yes, and be a good husband. Donna's lost, you have to go back. I just wonder, what are the rules and regulations that you promise to follow for the rest of your life?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, and spend minimum of 16 rounds with correction.
Okay. She also did a very nice thing. She's also an intelligent disciple. It's nice to have intelligent disciples. She paid obeisances to Sikandhi's good wife, because I imagine that she was the one who was inspiring you also in your devotional service. She's one of the leaders here. So please give her a round of applause. The men have their heroes, and the ladies, they also have their heroes. So we're very happy to accept you as our truly initiated disciple. I feel that this initiation will give you great inspiration in your spiritual life. Prabhupada told us one time, he said, I'm in London, he said, I'm just hoping I think he used the word praying. But some of my disciples will understand this message of Krishna consciousness. That message is very deep. Again, it's something we all speak on about, you know, from class to class and so forth and so on. But that message is that we're all Jivas, Upoya, Krishna, and Nityadas, we're all eternal servants of God. And the way and means to achieve that is to live a pure life and to chant the names of God. And as well, to share our good fortune with others. This is spiritual mathematics, that 1 - 1 = 1,000,000. In material life, in mathematics, 1 - 1 = 0. But in Krishna consciousness, if we share a good fortune with others, we become even more blessed by the Lord. So you've understood this. You like to distribute Prabhupada's books to some. Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, he said, distribute my books, because the best preacher is Prabhupada. At best, we could just, you know, repeat his instructions. We're supposed to repeat with realization, but that is something that comes in time, actually. Prabhupada's the best preacher, and we should have confidence that by distributing his books, people have a wonderful opportunity to understand this panangati, this goal of life, this very beautiful ancient Vedic culture. Maybe they're not ready yet, but it's like the sparks of the fire. If the spark of the fire falls on some wet grass, it will be extinguished. If it falls on some damp grass, it may eventually catch fire. If it falls on dry grass, it immediately catches fire. So sometimes we go out and we distribute our books. We're giving it to so many of the people who don't really have any interest. Some have a curiosity, but there's always that jewel. There's that person who's distraught, he's in distress, so he's looking for knowledge, he's a seeker of the truth, who, when they come in contact with the teachings of Prabhupada, they feel as grace, you know, divine grace upon them, and they immediately take up the process. So you've learned to go out there and tolerate the insults and the abuse and the hard weather and so forth and so on, and you must understand that. So this is very nice. Continue helping Prabhupada's Sankirtan movement in various ways. I think you live on the West Coast now.
Yeah,
you live here? Oh, okay, very good. So you become a very valuable, you become a very, very valuable asset to this temple. This is a very nice, this is one of our best temples in ISKCON. It has withstood the test of time and all that entails, and you know, it has all its stories, but the fact is that all the devotees are shining very beautifully. There's good management, there's beautiful deity worship, there's lots of preaching programs, college preaching. Nirguna Prabhu is doing a wonderful job. He's come here and from scratch, isn't it? Practically from scratch, Nirguna Prabhu has developed this college preaching program. He's like a lone soldier, just going out there every day, and so much conviction, so much faith. And nice results are coming. So many nice new devotees are coming. This lady here, when I met her today, I was so amazed. She seems like a very noble American person, you know, middle-aged and successful. She has her own business, and I could see she's intelligent, and she's interested in Krishna consciousness. This is very nice. We want these type of people. This movement is actually meant for intelligent people. So go out and bring nice new devotees like this, sincere people who can come and understand the message. So to inspire you, we'll give you a very beautiful name. A name that I've been saving for many years. I'll give you because you've shown yourself to be sincere in helping your spiritual master preach. This is a beautiful name. This is a name of Radharani. This name means, I'll just give you the meaning of the name first. It means the maidservant of the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And this day forth, your name shall be Vada Pada Duli Dasi. Vada Pada Duli. It's in the Padyapati of Srila Rupa Goswami. May serve in the dust of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. That should keep you going for millions of lives. Thank you very much. Everyone, please, I want you to raise your hands in the air. We're going to give blessings to the initiates because it's a team effort again. Repeat after me. Sadhu, sadhu! Sadhu, sadhu! Sadhu, sadhu! Sadhi, sadhi! Sadhi, sadhi!
Vrindavan Dham ki, not going back to Godhead ki.